Good morning. This morning, I'm just thrilled to be here. I love it when Marcus goes on vacation because that means I get to be here. Loretto, back of the room. I like it. Love you. Good to see you. Let me just say a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each person that has risen and shown up today. We pray that through your Holy Spirit and through your word that you would speak to each person here and enlighten us through your Holy Spirit like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the sermon is Join the Party. I don't know how many people, maybe somebody here, we won't call anybody out, but maybe somebody here is from the neighborhood. You saw the sign, you said, join the party, I'm in. And you came this morning. Okay, well, if that's you, welcome. The rest of us, as you pull up, you say, join the party. Now, what's that all about? Well, you know, I was thinking about the word party. My neighbors across the street have parties all the time. They are the most hospitable neighbors ever. They have this huge grand piano, and I can always tell when a party's coming because he will be just, you know, hammering away on this piano and getting all these Italian songs, you know. So I don't know what they are, but people come to their house, they have Italian food, and then they gather around the grand piano, and we sing these songs, which are just fantastic songs. They pass out little pieces of paper. You always know when a party's coming. A party equals music. I remember when I was a youth pastor at a church in Salem, Oregon. When I first took over as the youth pastor, there were five kids in the high school Sunday school group, and there were about four or five kids in the junior high Sunday school group. About 2 years later, we had 140 in the high school group, more than the adults in the adult Sunday school group. So actually the high schoolers had to take over the best Sunday school spot in the house because we had more than the adults. I love that. Okay. And we had a junior high event on a Saturday night. Over 150 kids came to a junior high event. It was at the church. Our church was kind of like this church. It was built exactly, our church looked like a boat, a Noah's Ark boat, but you had to spin it upside down. So when you were in the church, it was this really cool, you know, but it was longer. And in the center, all the way down the center, were these lights. And they had a little panel that covered the light. Well, we had 150 kids at the church. We had games outside with music. We had this. But in the sanctuary, we had sanctuary softball. Soft little balls. I mean, again, it was a room like this, really cool. And you'd hit this thing, and then you'd run around the pews, and it was a great game. Well, the next morning, 150 kids. I mean, we had the high school students were kind of running the thing for the junior high students. We had a message, a gospel presentation. We played sanctuary softball. It was awesome. But the next day, I had two people come up to me. One was the senior pastor, a lot older than Marcus. Said, we had a couple voicemails on the church message system. Apparently, the music was a little loud last night. I said, yeah, but we were done by 9. Isn't there ordinance until 10? Well, I'm just telling you. So somebody around the church heard the music. They were not happy. That was kind of the first one. Second person that came up to me was Bill Wright. Bill Wright might have been kind of like a Tom Wickstrom, kind of a legend in the church. Always helping, doing something. Bill Wright came up to me and said, see that light panel up there? It's off track. What happened in here last night? I didn't want to tell him sanctuary softball because I didn't think that sounded too good, so I'm not sure what I said. And he said, and also there's one sprinkler head broke outside. I said, but Bill, last night we had 150 kids here. It was unbelievable. He said, that's great. Who's going to fix that? And you're helping me with the sprinkler head. Isn't it interesting the perspectives of people? Just perspective. Isn't it interesting this morning as our scripture is the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son? This summer at camp, one of our guys gave a little devotional on the prodigal son. But he didn't focus on what I always have people focus on, which is the guy that like, God, all, you know, Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my half. Takes off, goes to a foreign land where he squanders it, right? That's always the focus. But the very end of that deal is about the older brother. And that's all I want to focus on today. We'll actually read that text. And I want to focus on that because isn't it interesting about just the perspective. Let me show you a picture of a kid. I think the first picture is of Lauren. Now, if you saw this kid, I don't know if you can tell, he has makeup on. He has white makeup on his face. You probably can't tell that. He has lipstick on. He has really a lot of mascara. So wore really dark clothes. When I was at Lost Canyon this summer, one of the first kids that got off out of his van and kind of started making his way for me, I was like, is that a guy or a girl? He looked very scary. He looked, I mean, my first look at him and my first thought was, he is not going to have a good time this week. He's not going to enjoy this camp. Because I don't think he's going to put a swimsuit on, so he's not going to enjoy the swimming. I don't think he's going to participate in any games. He's certainly at night when we present Jesus Christ, no way is he going to be into that. No way! It's a matter of perspective, though, because it's so interesting. This kid's name is Lauren. He lives in Williams, Arizona. And over the course of the week, Lauren responded to the gospel. I remember having a meal with him. I remember saying, I didn't know what to talk about, so I just said, hey, you know, what's one thing you're glad that you gave up, you know, to be here this week? Everybody gave up something to be at camp. He said, you know what, I'm really glad that I gave up alcohol for the week. He goes, normally, you know, there's not a day in my life that I'm not, you know, drinking, drunk. And he said, this is, you know, I think I'm on day three and I haven't had anything to drink. And it's kind of opening my eyes a little bit. And he was talking totally normal, although I was looking at him with all the makeup and everything. I was like, wow, he's like a normal person. At the end of the week, we do a thing called a believer walk. If you've accepted Christ, we give you a Bible. We take you on a walk around and at different stations. And at each station, you know, it might be, hey, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, you're a new believer. The old is gone, the new has come. And that might be a station. And we say to all the new believers, you're a new creation. I just want to take you through a couple pictures of the new believer walk. That's, by the way, that's Lauren on the new believer walk, and that's his Bible. And one other interesting note on Lauren. So that's his first Bible he ever had. When he received that Bible, he said to his leader, well, what am I going to do with my satanic Bible I have at home? His young life leader said, well, you know, we can get rid of that. And so after they went home, the next day, that afternoon, they sent me a picture on my cell phone. I love technology, of them burning the Satanic Bible. And so this is Lauren receiving his first Bible. And let's see, what's the next picture? This is week two. And these are all the kids that have accepted Christ. This is us on the walk. They're, you know, kind of trudging along. They've got their new Bibles. They've got a workbook. It takes about an hour to do this walk. Next picture. This is one of our staff, Albus Brooks from Denver, Colorado, and these are the guys he brought that met Christ that week. Next picture. Same thing, another group of kids. Don't remember where they're from right now. Next picture. Okay, this is kind of interesting. At the very last station, I'll say to the kids, hey, you know, you've accepted Christ this week, which means a couple things. Number one, you've just joined a bigger family. Not only when you go home and you join a church, you start going to church and you connect with all these people that are going to be your new brothers and sisters. Not only that, but you've also accepted, you're in a new family, you're going to live forever. Someday you're going to die, and when you do, you're going to go to heaven, and when you get there, this big family is going to greet you. And so all the kids that came to camp that were believers, they had another seminar going on. And when at the end, they would get ready and I would say, so welcome into the family. And all the kids that already knew the Lord would come running out of the dining hall to create this tunnel for all the new believers to walk through. So these are the kids that are running out to say, welcome to the family. I love that picture. Okay, next picture. Okay, that's it. So that is the, and that's the best picture of all. So today, you talk about perspective. I love the opening of our text today. There's one more picture, which is actually a painting of the prodigal son. The prodigal son's coming home. Remember, he kind of hangs his head. He's rehearsed his speech. You know, I don't deserve to be your son. I don't deserve to eat. You know, I should just serve me what you're serving the pigs. Okay, and the father's, no way. He's killed the fattened calf. He's got him a robe. He's got him a ring. He's But off in the distance is what I want to focus on today, which is the older brother. hand up against the tree. What is going on? You know, the older brother is probably a little upset because when his father would die, the older brother would receive 2/3 of all that his father owns. But if his father gives it away while he's still alive, he only gets 50%. So when the younger son came to the father and said, I want my half. He knows what he's not just saying, he knows exactly what he's saying. He goes, I'm not waiting until you die. I want my half. I get more now. So when the younger brother comes home after squandering it, the older brother's leaning up against the tree thinking, you know, now not only am I getting, you know, less, but you've devoured is what the word actually translates as. Not squandered, it's devoured. You have just devoured your portion. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Again, the perspective. People who hear music in our neighborhood go, hey, the Olivas are having a party. It's a great thing. But some people hear music and it's not so great. I hope that's not my son. It could be. So he called one of the servants and asked him, hey, what is going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back in safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Isn't it interesting to consider if it's possible, at least I'm asking myself this morning, could I be like the older brother? Am I the older brother? Am I hearing things, music, great situations, and somehow I can twist it, and I can turn it, and I can actually be angry about it and kind of lose my way? If you go back, you think, well, what is the older brother? Well, the older brother is angry. He's stubborn. He's prideful. He's self-righteous. I've worked all these years. He's, what else is he? He's not grateful. He's what? He's selfish. I was thinking, you know, I just got back last night from a family vacation for 2 weeks. We go each summer, 1 week with my family, 1 week with my wife's family. Now, I just told my wife last night, let's no longer call it a vacation. Let's call it we're visiting. Because then I don't in my mind think, you know, these books that I put in my backpack to read, never read them. It's not vacation. It's visiting. But you know what? I have to admit that in times in the last 2 weeks, I was the older brother. I looked back at the words that I wrote down today. The older brother, self-righteous, bitter, broken relationships. Think about the broken relationships. This older brother has a broken relationship with his father. Okay? Hey, he's angry at his own father. He's got a broken relationship with his own brother. He won't even say of his own brother, that's my brother. He now has changed his name, this son of yours. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know, the small little moments on our vacation where I found myself being the older brother, even though I'm the youngest. Dang it. I was thinking, okay, what in this scripture is interesting to me is this. And I wrote down, join the party. It seems to me there's three ways to join the party. The first way is, look for where God is moving. The father is always on the porch. At least that's the impression. He's been standing on the porch however long this younger son's been gone. He's been standing on the porch just kind of waiting. So that the moment the son, you know, comes home, the younger son, the father sees him off in a distance and, man, party is on. My son who was lost is found. He's coming back. He's obviously been looking. Now, in the Old Testament, you got Cain and Abel. You got two other brothers. They had a little situation. And what did the father say? He said, you're your brother's keeper. When the younger son goes off, what's the older brother do? He should have, just out of respect for his own father, gone to look for his younger brother. Found him. Said, Dad's looking for you. Come on, come back. Please. He didn't do that. No, he stayed and worked the fields and stayed home. He wasn't looking. He wasn't looking. The first thing I wrote down to join the party is just that we have to be looking. What's God doing? So all of us in this room today, as you leave this place, can you look to see where is God moving? Can you see it? Maybe it's in your own family. I sent an email off to my sister this morning and said to her, I am the older brother. The way that I responded on our vacation is not who I want to be. That's not how I want to be. I'm sorry. It'd be great if the older brother would have done that. Father's pleading with him, come in, please. I just want to have both boys in the same room at the same table. But that's not what he did. You look to see where God is moving. You know, I was thinking this morning, I can't help, every time I come in this church, I am reminded of Trinity Covenant Church in Salem, Oregon. I'm reminded about being a youth pastor. I'm reminded about every Sunday having church and great people like you who make things happen. I'm remembering having a little prayer group with parents that didn't come very often, but occasionally they would. I offered it up every week. If you want to come, pray for kids in our church, outside of our church, your kids, come pray. And one time, one of the kids that came to our church, whose parents did not come to the church, his name was Chad Watson, I met his mom, and so I said to her, I go, you know, we pray for kids. If you'd ever want to come, she said, oh, I don't. And I said, no, please, would you please come one time? She came. When she got there, she announced right off the bat, I don't pray out loud, but I will sit here silently and be very much a part of what's happening. But just let you know, if it's a circle thing, if we're passing it around and all of a sudden there's a silence in the room and it's obvious, it's to me, I don't pray out loud. I said, it's fine. It's so interesting for me to look back on that moment. Why did I even invite her? Why did she come? Then she started to say, well, I will drive on, if you need a driver on events, I'll drive. I'll help drive kids. I can do that. It's so interesting over the next, you know, kind of 10-year span. Now I can look back, of course it's been 20 years, but I can look back at that 10-year span and see how God slowly moved her down the road from sitting in a chair, not praying out loud, to all of a sudden she'd say, I'd like to pray today. To then she said, well, I'll drive on an event. Then she said, well, you could have, you know, kids to my house. I'll cook. At that moment, her hobby in life was toll painting. Do you know what toll painting is? It's where you get go to Michael's and get a duck. It's completely unpainted, and then you take it home and you paint it, and then maybe you paint welcome on it and put some feet on it, and then you sell it for $5, and somebody puts it at their house. We have tons of toll painting things. And then all of a sudden, somebody sees the duck. It says, welcome. It's painted, and they say, oh, my goodness, I'm welcome in their house. Okay, toll painting. Her husband had a wood shop. He would cut the ducks and the whatever, and she would paint them, and then they would go to art things, okay? Well, over the course of years, pretty soon, she no longer toll painted. 10 years later, they didn't have one duck in their house. But 10 years later, she was in full-time ministry. And she was pouring herself into college girls and high school girls. And she was on staff up in Oregon with a ministry. And it all started with just, hey, would you want to come and be a prayer thing, a little tiny prayer thing? It could happen, maybe somebody in your neighborhood. I mean, I'm just saying, the first step to joining the party for us today is just to look around and say, where's God moving? What's he doing? And how can you participate? In our family, when we make lasagna, we make six. We don't make the 13x9 lasagnas. We get the throwaway things, and we always make the 8x8 lasagnas. And the reason is we've stuffed three or four of them in the freezer, and then we just wait and see when God's moving. Because it's inevitable. Somebody moves into the neighborhood, and out from the freezer comes a lasagna and a throwaway thing. You walk up and you go get bread, slap it on there, and give it to somebody. Maybe they're in need, maybe they're in new, maybe they're from the hospital, and it's an easy way to just say, here you go. And you never know what happens, when you make yourself available. The older brother was not doing that. The older brother was not moving. In fact, what does it say? It says he refused to go in. Have you ever had God feel like moving and you see something happening, but you plant your feet down and you say, that's not me. I'm not doing that. That's the older brother. We don't want to be the older brother. We don't want to be the older brother. The second thing, listen for the music. Listen for the music. And what's your perspective? He listens for the music, and he hears the music, and he's thinking, what? And the music for him represents there's a party, there's something good going on. He sees it. It's not a good thing for him. In fact, it makes him very angry. I like to think of the music for us today, 2009, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blows where it blows, does what it wants to do. The Holy Spirit can nudge you, can guide you, can make you, can lead you. That's what it says in John. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all things that are true, will lead you in a direction. Have you ever sensed that? Have you ever sensed a little nudge, a little drawing? You got to listen for it, though. You got to be open to the fact that, hey, maybe, have you ever at a store bought a card and you didn't know who you were going to send it to? And then you went home and you sat down and you got this great card. It's not a birthday card. It's not an anniversary card. It's just a card. And you bring it home and all of a sudden it dawns on you and you write that card out. It's so interesting. Is it possible that the music that you might hear this week is God attempting to use you to do something? It can happen, but you got to listen for it. You got to have the right perspective. You can't hear it and say, nope, that can't be God working in my life. What's it say in 2 Corinthians? It says that we all are the fragrance of Christ, that God leads us in triumphant procession. What's it say in Colossians 1:27? That the mystery of the gospel is that Jesus Christ lives in you. Yes, that's what it says, in you. And so when we go anywhere, when we do anything, we actually are part of God moving. Maybe it's in a phone call. Maybe it's in a card. Maybe it's in a hand on a shoulder saying, I just want you to know I've thought about you this week. I'm praying for you. The older brother misses it. He hears the music and he gets a different perspective. The music for him makes him angry. What's the third thing that happens? The third thing is to take action. What does the father say? I love it. He says, we had to celebrate. And in the Greek, that's what he really meant it. They had to. His son was gone. His son was dead. His son is alive. We had to celebrate. It wasn't even a thought that we got to kill the fatted calf. We got to get a ring. We have to, because he was dead and now he's alive. He literally, if you go over that text, he takes all kinds of action, doesn't he? It doesn't just stop with, hey, you're home. I'm so glad. He throws a party. He even goes out and tries to get the older brother to come in. He takes that action. He takes all kinds of action. Maybe the action that we take this week is we evaluate. This is what I'm doing anyway. You can do whatever you want. But I'm evaluating for myself, where am I like the older brother? Where in my life am I self-righteous? Even today, maybe for a second, as I went out to put the car seat in the car, I've got a tie on, people in my neighborhood are walking by, did I think the thought, I'm on my way to church, why aren't you? I can't tell you, I don't know. Maybe it did come in my mind. Where in my life am I thinking, you know what? My grass is pretty green. My neighbor's is pretty dead. Where am I self-righteous? Where am I thinking haughty thoughts? Arrogant thoughts? That's the older brother. How about the older brother? Man, he is bitter, isn't he? Well, you never even gave me a goat. How does that sound? Where in my life am I bitter? Kind of feel like I have some rights. Where in my life do I have broken family relationships? This is about a family right here. I'm not even talking about the extended brothers and sisters. I'm talking about immediate family. Is there anybody in this room, you do not have to raise your hand, that has any immediate family, bloodlines, that there's something not quite right? Is there any? I feel like one of the calls of this parable is to say, man, take action on that. Do what you can do. I did what I could do. I took responsibility for me. How about the fact that the older brother misses it because he's working? I thought about that too. You know, sometimes we work. You know, even today, the worship band alluded to the fact, Mary, Martha, don't miss it because you're working. Where are we like the older brother? And then, of course, stubborn. Plants his feet in the ground. Crosses his arms and says, I'm not coming in. Where in our life are we that person? Of course, you know, the real most amazing thing is this. The real reason that God had Jesus tell this story is because he just wanted to say this. There's two sons. One is living a life that is obvious. You point at it, you go, oh my gosh, squandered, went to a foreign land. We don't know any. You know, the older brother says, you know, and the prostitutes, that's what the older brother says. We don't know that. We have no documentation on that, but we know that he went off to, you know, you kind of point and you go, wow. But the father loves him, sees him coming. But then there's the other brother who, at first glance, man, he's doing everything right. Stayed at home, didn't go off to a foreign land, working. What a great guy. At deeper glance, we already have been over it. And what's the father do with him? He comes out to him too. He comes out to him too. And so I love it because this story, this parable is all about God's love. Whether you're in a distant land or you're close at home, God is making a step towards you in both accounts to say, I love you. I'm initiating with you. I will do anything to be in relationship with you. That's to you and to me. And we all know people at both ends of the spectrum. And so that is what I've been thinking about the last 2 weeks. I've been living in the prodigal son, but specifically I'm taking a deeper look and saying, where am I like the older brother? Maybe that will resonate with your spirit. I don't know, but let me just say a prayer and thank the Lord. And in fact, before I say a prayer, maybe I would invite the ushers to come forward. And we will both pray for this sermon, in our hearts, as well as we'll pray for the offerings that we'll be receiving in a minute. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a father of love. You're a father that prances around the porch looking for us off in the distance when we come back from a foreign land. But you're also the same father who comes off the porch and out into the fields and says, please, come inside. I want to be with you. And Lord, we ask that today you would enlighten us through your Spirit, that we would receive, whether we are the younger brother or the older brother, we would receive and sense your love on this day. And thank you for these gifts and offerings that will be coming in. May you use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.